Welcome to The Fighting Priests, a podcast exploring orthodoxy and jiu-jitsu. Two paths, one struggle. Father Ted Paraskevopoulos and Father Thomas Sandberg are two orthodox Christian priests who also happen to be practitioners of jiu-jitsu. Together, they explore how these two unique worlds intersect and what it means for our spirituality. Here's Father Ted and Father Thomas. Welcome, everybody, back to the Fighting Priests. My name is Father Ted Paraskevopoulos on our 33rd episode with my co-host, Father Thomas Sandberg, up in Manitoba. Father Thomas, how's it going, man?
I'm going good. How about yourself?
Even though this is not going to air until like probably end of May, early June, we are now in mid-April, and we were laughing last episode about you were saying that you had some snow in Manitoba.
Yeah, I saw you got some this morning.
Yes, I woke up. And it's horrible. It's like April 21st here, and we had snow. It's going to be gone tomorrow. It's going to go back up to like 15 degrees, but it's pretty horrible that I woke up and I had to pull my boots out and my winter coat again. It was just horrible. But aside from that, you know, everything's okay. We're still in lockdown as usual. I think still, hopefully maybe by the time this episode airs, maybe it will be a little bit less. But enough about that. Today, we are very, very happy to have another wonderful guest from the beautiful country of Greece, this time from the island of Rhodes, Rhodos, Andonis Pappas, who is from Rhodes, Greece. He is from the Rhodes Knights BJJ Club. He's a multiple black belt. He's a first-degree black belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu under Christos Marquez, Gracie Baja. He's a second Dan black belt in judo. He's a second Dan black belt.
Third Dan this year. I took my third Dan.
Third Dan. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Third Dan. Congratulations. Third Dan in judo. And you're also a second Dan, I believe, in Japanese black belt. Japanese judo. You know, the amount of championships and competitions you've competed in are too many to mention right now. Just a few. You know, you're the Greek jiu-jitsu champion for 2018, 2019, 2020.
I've been fighting in the Greek championships from the beginning. Like it was, I think, 2001. I count only the first places because I think that the second place is a loss.
That's okay.
I've been fighting for jiu-jitsu, traditional jiu-jitsu, for 21 years. I'm in the national team.
Very nice, very nice. Yeah, I can see it here. And in 2019, you were the second place World Cup jiu-jitsu. Yeah.
Yeah, in Romania.
Very nice. So many, many different things. You compete in traditional jiu-jitsu, Brazilian jiu-jitsu. You've competed in judo. You've competed in MMA, kickboxing, a lot of stuff I saw on your CV there. So you've been all over the place, and we're really, really happy to have you. Welcome to our program.
Thank you very much for having me. Sorry about my Greek accent.
That's okay. Well, that's why we want you on it. We could do it all in Greek, but then nobody would understand us, at least on this side of the Atlantic. So how is everything in Rhodes? You know, is it still locked down there?
Like 270 days locked.
Wow.
We are waiting our gym to open. You know, I have messages daily from my kids that they are asking to come and train. It's very difficult for everyone.
Sure, sure. And the tourist season is upon you, right? Right, because Greece, it opens up.
Yeah, we opened like last year for 2 months, and they said they're going to lock us down again. So we closed. We're still waiting.
Yeah, it was like that here in Canada too. We last summer, we had a break from the lockdowns. Things opened up a bit. The numbers went down. Even the jiu-jitsu clubs opened, but we were open just limited, just working on, training dummies. And things like that, sparring dummies, and not really rolling or anything like that.
Like distances and keep the distance.
Yeah. But then everything locked down again in the winter. So everything now is locked. So we're doing the best we can. But I'd rather be locked down on roads than be locked down in Toronto.
Yeah, it's difficult. I will tell you the reason. From the Greek mythology, Rhodes was the daughter of God's son. So we have like 330 days of sunshine a year, mm-hmm. and we are locked in. Yeah. So it's really difficult.
Sure.
I'd rather be there and snowing, see the snow, than being here and having summer without being able to go out.
Mm-hmm. I understand. Yeah. Well, let's spend some time together, at least in this way, and we can talk a little bit about what you're doing there, the wonderful work you're doing with BJJ and Jiu-Jitsu on the island. And we look forward to talking with you. So, Andoni, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where were you born? A little bit about your family, being raised. I'm assuming you were born in Rodo, but maybe not. And
I was born in Ioannina. It's the northern part of Greece.
Very nice, yeah.
My father is from Ioannina. I was born there, and my mother's from Rhodes.
Oh, very nice.
So I don't know where I'm from. I lived many years in Rhodes, many years in Ioannina. I used to live in Athens, yeah, where I started training. My life is a mess, you know. I don't know, you know, if I'm in Rhodes, I want to be in Athens. If I'm in Athens, I want to be in Ioannina.
Okay. Yeah, Ioannina is very nice. It's up in Epiros. I've been there. And it's a completely different world than Rhodos or even Athens.
It's like 15 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, very nice. How long? So you were born in Ioannina. How old were you when you left to go down to Rhodes?
I was like 2. I came in Rhodes until I was 5, and then I went to Athens, and then back to Ioannina, and like that, something like that. Every few years, I used to move.
Okay.
Because my father was a chef, so I have to move for the work, and
very nice.
I had to make new friends all the time.
Sure. Well, that's okay, because I mean, you have a lot of friends all over the place.
Yeah. Thank God Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu helps a lot for that.
Yeah. So you said, okay, so you said you've been doing jiu-jitsu as well and judo for a long time. I'm assuming before you got into Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, many, many years.
How old were you when you started Japanese jiu-jitsu?
I was a kid, like, I started judo, like, I was 5 years old. Mm-hmm. And then I moved to Rhodes to work and live in 2001. And the bad thing about judo was that I have to go like in a championship, only one championship every year. So I had to start something new. Mm-hmm. I started doing traditional jiu-jitsu. Then in 2005, I went to Brazil for a few months for vacation in Fortaleza. I met a guy. He introduced me to the Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And I started training slowly. They didn't have any Brazilian jiu-jitsu academies in Rhodes. Mm-hmm. But because I had many injuries from judo, I started training Nevaza move. So every day I was becoming better and better on the ground. Mm-hmm. And 2013, my students had this idea to start the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Academy in Rhodes.
Mm-hmm. So by 2013, though, were you already training Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, right?
Yeah, yeah. I started competing in pseudo grappling and this kind of championships in 2005.
Okay, and you were up. You were training in Athens. I'm assuming at Gracie Baja.
I was training with Nikos Panu and Agapie Dan. They were judo instructors,
mm-hmm,
but they were very good in the ground fight. So I started from judo Nevaza. Mm-hmm. And because at the moment that the Greek championship started, I was a black belt in judo, that I wasn't able to fight, compete in the white belts.
Mm-hmm.
So in Greece, we had this law that we have to compete in the purple belts. We didn't have so many purple belts at the moment, so I had to compete in the black belts category. So I was a white belt competing with the black belts.
Wow.
It was nice.
How did that go?
I think the first time that she was a white belt in the black belt division, I took the second place.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, I had the good throwback from judo, but, you know, my style is not judo. It's not Brazilian jiu-jitsu. It's something mixed, you know?
Sure. So you did that. So then by the time you got back to Rhodes, and you know, you said in 2013 you were starting to think about starting the club there. By then, you weren't a black belt yet. You were a purple belt, you said, right?
2013, I took my, no, before, I took my purple belt.
Okay.
I started 2005, I started competing 2005 as a, as a purple belt.
Okay.
Nice. Now I think the IBJJF says that if you are a black belt in judo, you have to compete in blue belts.
Yeah.
It would be easier for me, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have an advantage for sure. Nice. So then you opened up the the Rhodes Knights. It's called.
Yeah, Rhodes Knights Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Mm-hmm. So that opened in 2013.
Yeah.
Nice, nice. So how many students do you have? Like, well, let's say before the lockdown.
120 in the academy in Rhodes, but I have two other academies that I teach. Mm-hmm. The one is in Kremasti. There are like 30 guys, I think. And Hagelos is like 80 people there. So we're a bunch of guys training here.
So it's grown a lot on the island since you started.
Yeah. The good thing about the island is that we have so many tourists, you know, from all levels, from white belt to like I've seen here like five stripes in black belt training here that, you know, they make you better day by day. We have the opportunity to see different kind of games and game plans, and it's very helpful. It's like hosting a seminar every day.
Oh, very nice. Yeah. Yeah. Rhodes is very popular. I've been there twice. Actually, no, I think I've been there three times in my life. It's a beautiful island, and it's so popular because not only amongst Greeks, but amongst other people, because you have, you know, you have a high tourism with the old city. You had the knights, the hospitalers there, the Catholic knights, right? So
St. John,
there's a lot of histories. Yeah, the Knights of St. John, and so you have the castles there, and it's like very medieval. It looks almost like Western Europe, right?
We have like many castles. They're not only in the old town. We have Lindos, we have Kamiros, we have Monolithos, we have Haraki.
Yeah,
many castles.
Yeah, so it draws.
So they combine the vacations with sightseeing.
Yeah, yeah, very nice. Well, we hope that maybe, you know, when this whole thing is done, we could combine our vacation with some.
Hopefully.
You know, that would be nice. Very nice. So, so you were 2013, you started the club, and you've been going since then. That's great. As far as like family, are you single, married? You have any kids? What's going on with that?
I'm single still. Yeah, you know, it's a difficult place to get married. I have one brother and three sisters.
Yeah.
And because of my grandmother and my grandfather here on the island, that there were many brothers and sisters, I have a lot of cousins here. We're a huge family.
Nice.
So...
Does anybody train in the family?
Yeah. My sister Costantina is a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and black belt in Judo.
Nice.
My brother Alex is a blue belt in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and brown belt in Jiu-Jitsu. No, brown belt in Judo and blue belt in Jiu-Jitsu. And my father was a black belt in Karate.
Oh, wow.
He stopped training. With five kids, you know, it's difficult.
Sure, it's understandable. But that's good. That's a whole family. It's so it's not a surprise that you got involved with it.
Yeah, my father didn't want me to do judo.
Okay.
So we argued for many years.
Did he not want judo?
The first time he came to see me fight was in a Greek championship of karate.
Okay, because he wanted his
sport. And I lost in the final. I took second place, and he was angry.
Well, everybody has their beloved martial art, right? So
Yeah,
some people, if they're into karate or they're into something else, they don't like anything else. That's okay. That's his thing.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
All right. Well, thanks for being with us today. You got an interesting last name and an interesting family history. Why don't you explain your last name and, I guess, as well as your family history? To our listeners who might not, maybe like English speakers who might not know the history behind the last name.
My surname is Papas, that is translated into priest. because in Greece we used to give surnames from somebody's work or place that has been, or from the place of birth. So all my ancestors were priests. In the times that priests weren't paid from the state, they do it because they loved it. You know, it wasn't a job at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And so how many ancestors in your family have been priests?
All.
All going back that far.
Yeah.
Going back
as far as everybody remembers, everybody was a priest. Yeah.
So did, I guess, did you know any of them? I guess maybe your grandfather?
Or? Yeah, I've met my grandfathers.
Mm-hmm.
I met almost all of them, you know, because they died very old. Like my grandfather died like in 95.
Okay.
7th of January.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I met 3 out of 4.
Yeah, and they were all priests?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? So out of the ones you knew, did any of them have an influence on you, like in a religious
Yeah, I have very good memories, you know. I remember the one, his name was Alexis. My brother has his name. But this guy was very funny. I have photos from the time I was baptized. I remember, you know, he was like 95, 96 years old, and I had to go in my village and pick him up from the cafe to take him home.
Yeah. Did you ever like help any of them as an altar boy in the church or anything like
that? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't good. I wasn't very helpful.
Oh.
Because, you know, it was difficult for a kid to do all these things, but yeah. I tried, I think. I did my best.
Mm-hmm. I see.
But so, I think I was the worst person to help.
Yeah, I can. It's funny right now because the way it is where I am in Winnipeg, Manitoba, with the lockdown, it's we have a limited amount of people in the church, and then it's first come, first serve, right? And so some of the altar boys now, they come for Orthodox, right, before the liturgy, and they don't really know that service. So it's like having to explain to them, it's you know, you stand here or hand me this at this time. It's new for them because they always just come later, even though they've been in the church for so long. So there's a learning curve for younger people. But would you say, do you have any, have any of your experiences with your family or religious background, does it have any influence on your jiu-jitsu, would you say?
Yeah, because I believe that we are all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the majority of my family are half Greeks.
Half Greek?
Yeah, because all the guys and the women in Rhodes, they get married with foreigners, like
okay.
Have a family all over the globe. Mm-hmm. And the thing I my grandfather told me was that you have to be humble, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are humble, you are not you are not going to fail, you know? If you are on the ground, you never fail.
Yeah.
You know, the paradise was lost from some angel because they weren't humble.
Mm-hmm.
So my motto in training is train hard and stay humble.
Be humble. Yeah, I think that's a very important lesson that you see in the church and you see in jiu-jitsu, right?
Well,
it's an applicable lesson.
I have a very funny story about the church.
Okay.
You know, I used to work in a club, and mm-hmm. I was working like from 11 o'clock until like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. So on Sundays, I used to go with the other bouncers from the club to the church. So I went there, I sit, and I slept. And the priest was making fun of me all the time. You know, he says, "Oh, look, Tony, he comes to the church. It doesn't matter that he sleeps all the time."
That's funny. There was when I was in seminary, there was, I used to say this too. I was like, "Oh, if you're tired or we have 40 liturgies in a row or something or whatever, or you're training." And there's this archimandrite who said to me, he said, that I guess when he was, because he was a monk, when he was on Mount Athos, he was taught that if you're tired, it's better to come to church and sleep in the church than stay at home or in your room and sleep. So at least you're in the church and you'll get something out of it. So
I have done that like hundreds of times.
It's funny. That's what I was telling my wife, because my wife is pregnant, right? And so now, yeah. Now when you're in the church, if you're sitting down, the rules are, the government says you can take off your mask. But a month ago, if you're sitting, you still have to have your mask on. So she'd be like, she's telling me, my presbyter, I'm sitting there and I'm tired and I have to wear the mask and say I'm falling asleep. And so then I told her the same story. Oh, Father such and such told me that I'm on Athos. He was taught this, that if you're in the church, it's better to be in the church sleeping than not to be in the church at all. So
I don't like wearing the mask in the church. So now, I went there before, and we have a hospital here in Rhodes. They have a small church inside. I went with my mask on, I light a candle, and I left.
Yeah.
And I did it like 2 days ago, same. No, yeah. 2 days ago, they didn't have candles. I went there, I kissed the icons, and I left. It's, very difficult. I feel very disappointed that the supermarkets are open, the churches are closed. You have to have nine people in the church. What is that?
Yeah.
They even changed the time of the church. It was 12 o'clock. Now they said that they're going to do it 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
I think it's a war against the church at the moment.
Yeah. I think it's a lot of things. I just try and be obedient to my bishop, and then, it's worse in some, because we have overlapping jurisdictions here in Canada, right? So some, I'm not going to say, but different jurisdictions that aren't Greek, right? They have rules that are much more restrictive and different than what our rules are from our archdiocese in Canada, right? So it's like, I see what they're doing. I'm like, okay, well, that's way worse. And I'm glad we're doing, in my opinion, the least of two evils. You're making a compromise on certain situations right now, but
I think that we don't have to compromise with religion. We believe that we believe, so the state has to do a backstep.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
You go to a supermarket and you see hundreds of people waiting in the queue or in a post office or in the hospital, and they say that in the church you have to be 9 people. How are you going to say to a Greek that wants to go to the church next Saturday, but you have to have 9 people? Mm-hmm. It can be done.
Yeah, we were allowed 100 people until yesterday. Now we're allowed 50. I guess because of the size, so it's a certain percentage or 50 people, whichever is less. So I was looking forward to it. We were going to have more people in the church for Pascha, but now it's we only can have 50 people. So,
yeah, it's difficult for everyone.
Yeah.
But, I feel sorry about the people that go to the church very often. But there are people here in Greece that they used to go one time a year.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're going to start souring and asking the state that they want to go 12 o'clock, and they want to be hundreds of people. I disagree with them. If you want to say your opinion, at least you have to go one time a week.
It's the same with training. If you want the benefits, you gotta go, you gotta train. Mm-hmm. Right, you can't just go once a month or once every couple of months and then expect to have progress, right?
The people that train less, they have more expectations, that.
It's true.
So in Rhodes right now, are you training at all, or are you actually closed your club? Where I am, I'm going to go train tonight. We can train, but we have to wear masks, right? So it's pretty weird.
I think it's not so healthy wearing a mask. Personal training. I have some guys, I have a guy now that's in here that we do weights together and we roll a little bit,
mm-hmm.
but secretly,
Yeah.
Nobody knows. We do some running. Yeah. I go spear fishing. Mm-hmm. We do something to be...
You say spear fishing?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah?
That's yeah.
Interesting.
You can do that in Rome.
You know, some of the apostles were fishermen, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Christ said, come with me. I'm going to make you fishermen of people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We have options there. Inroads. Here we don't have any options for swimming and things like, at least not where we are. It's we just have lakes. We don't have the ocean like Greece. And that's why I said, you know, before that
the GNC is perfect, you know.
That's what I'm saying. If I'd rather be on lockdown, I'd rather be there, because yes, you'd rather be doing many things, but at least you have beautiful weather and you have a beautiful landscape. Canada is very beautiful too, don't get me wrong, but it's a different type of beautiful. And the Aegean is different, the ocean, the water, the beaches. And at least you can go out and run. You can do some exercise. You know, even if you can't roll, you can get out and do some exercise. And we've been doing that here too. But it's still difficult, right? So we hope it will pass very soon. We hope.
Yeah. I think it will pass the March of 22.
I hope not. I hope not. I hope we don't lose 2 years.
Luckily, we're heading to that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
I think that many teams in Greece are going to close because, you know, if you are 1 year closed, the state didn't help so much. It's difficult to pay the rents, electricity, water bills. It's difficult. So many people will quit.
Mm-hmm.
And this is bad, you know. You don't want to have clubs. You want to have academies with people training and giving to kids things, you know.
So kind of just like as a final thought, I guess you could say, with your community there, do you see... you know, after the lockdown kind of ends, hopefully, we hope soon. Do you see your club, kind of your academy, going back to what it was before, or you think it's going to struggle? Like, do you think you think the BJJ community is going to survive in Rhodes, or is it going to be much less than it was before?
You know, like when I started the academy with my guys, because, you know, I didn't do it alone. It will be egoistic to say that I did everything alone, you know. Someone had the idea for the logo, someone about the place, many things, you know. It was a team of people that we worked together. So we did a step at the time. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu wasn't known in Rhodes. I think Jose Gracie helped a lot to people to understand what is Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. Mm-hmm. And, you know, slowly, step by step, we gathered people in the academy, and now it's like going on the top of the mountain and jumping down. Now I have to climb up the mountain again, I think. When I open and call my guys, I think the majority will come. But I don't think it will be financially possible for everyone at the moment to think that the priority is training.
Yes. Yes, like your club might survive, like you might be able to open it, but as far as people coming and being able to
set
up and things, is going to affect them. Yes, that's the same everywhere. I think it's the same here as well. That a lot of clubs have shut down, others have survived, but can everybody who was there before keep paying their memberships and keep paying, you know, to train? That's to support the club, right? That's the difficulty. It's going to look very different, I think, in the future.
Yeah.
And it's going to affect BJJ, I think, worldwide, at least to a certain degree, because you're going to have a lot of people who haven't been able to train for like a year and a half, 2 years. So it's going to, and there's other people who have been training. So it's going to affect the levels, right?
Yeah.
Of program.
And some countries, I think they train. But I think when, by the time we open, I think people will see the things different.
Mm-hmm.
They are going to appreciate more things, you know, like training, because Greeks, for example, are a little bit late at paying bills. So had always had this problem with the academy, you know. Mm-hmm. But I think now that they're going to think twice of being late.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's
we
good.
See. You know, nobody knows. Only God knows what is going to happen tomorrow.
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. Well, on that note, it's been wonderful getting to know you and hearing about you know, your life on the island of Rhodes, at night, at Rhodes Nights Jiu-Jitsu, you know, what you guys are doing there. I know it's been tough, like it's been tough for everybody, but we really appreciate you spending your time and sharing your story with us. And we hope that hopefully things will get back to normal sooner than later, that maybe we can see each other one day and actually roll together. That would be, yeah, be nice.
You're more than welcome to come and pay a visit here and train with us. It's a great honor for us to have people from all over the world to train and share their knowledge with us.
Yeah.
And then after training, we used to go out for a beer, you know, we hang out, we go swimming, do a lot of things. So yeah. we have many repeaters. That means that we have people that if you come one time, you probably come again.
Sure. Well, let's hope that's great.
I have friends that we became friends when I opened the academy. They still come here every year.
Mm-hmm. Very nice. Well, we hope to be one of those, and we hope to talk to you again, Andoni. But until then, be safe. I'm not going to say Kalo Pascha because I will say Kalo Pascha because we're recording before Pascha, even though this episode is going to go out afterwards. So technically, you know, by the time this episode airs, we'll be saying Christos Anesti, right?
A little bit curious.
Yeah. Thank you. And God bless you and everything you're doing there. And we hope to talk to you very soon.
Hope to see you soon. Thank you very much for having me. It was a great pleasure. And really, I really hope to see you soon.
Thank you. Take care.
Have a lovely day. Bye.
You have been listening to The Fighting Priests, an independent podcast. Please follow us on Facebook and Instagram and let us know your thoughts. We'd love to hear from you. Till next time, keep training the body and the soul. God bless.